Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read about three or four different kinds of sexual sins that were prevalent in the lives of the people that were in the Corinthian church before they got saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, watch it, neither fornicators." That's one kind of sexual sin. It's the act of sex outside of marriage. That is, before you're married, or if you're married and you go outside of your marriage to join yourself with somebody else. Fornication. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That is a second kind of sexual sin. A marriage is adulterated when one spouse joins himself or herself with another person. But it can also be committed, not by the act, but just by the thought, by the lust of the eyes. Adultery. Another sin mentioned here is effeminate. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now you get into perversions and homosexuality. So today what we're going to do is we're going to begin a study on sexual sins. It will probably take two of these broadcasts to cover the topic. And let me say right at the beginning, discussing sexual sins on a radio broadcast is difficult because we must keep from being defiled by the subject. We can be too explicit, for instance. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12 say this, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them," watch it, "for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." So if it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, you can understand how difficult this topic is. Nevertheless, we must at least offer some help to those who are afflicted by these sins. I mean, as Bible believers, we're quick to condemn adultery. We're quick to condemn fornication. We're quick to condemn homosexuality. But the question is, are we willing to help someone in one of these sins who really wants to change? And the answer is, we should be willing. We should be willing to help, seeing that the sinners in Corinth who had trouble with these sins were able to quit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read about fornicators and adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. And then when you jump down to verse 11, he says, "And such were some of you. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So there is a change here. They're not doing it anymore. So if the folks in Corinth were able to get some help to get out of that sin they were in, to be washed, sanctified, and justified, certainly we should attempt scripturally and purely to deal with the subject and try to offer some help. Now, I will say this, first of all, sexual sins can be complex because there are often several contributing factors associated with these sins. And frankly, to break this up in a couple of broadcasts at least is showing you something of the complexity of these kinds of sins. In other words, they involve a lot of your being, a lot of aspects. Yet, let me say this, though they are complex, that is, there are many components, though they are complex, listen, dealing with sexual sins doesn't have to be complicated. You say, why not? Because when you deal with a complex problem, you break it down into its several simple parts. And by dealing with each part separately, solving the problem is simplified. Not necessarily simple, but it is simplified. It's too big of a problem to try to handle as one thing, so break it down into its components. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to deal with sexual sins by dealing with each component. All right, here we go. You deal with sexual sins, first of all, scripturally. In other words, when you're dealing with sexual sins, you must get in the Bible and see scriptural truth. Now, here, honestly, when you're dealing with sexual sins, what's happened is there are certain truths in the Bible that are either being ignored or twisted or wrested, W-R-E-S-T-E-D, like Peter said about what some people were doing with Paul's writings, wrested or rejected. And you know that because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So you know that. Listen, scriptural truth is very important when you're dealing with sexual sins. When a person is stuck in sexual sins, what happens is they are dealing with their own mind, their own conflict, their own emotions, their own struggle, and they're not seeing what the Bible has to say about what they're in. Something's being ignored or twisted or wrested or rejected. And you know that because, very simply, if you did have all the scriptural truth concerning that sin, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Now, one of the great truths that's being ignored oftentimes in sexual sins is you're not calling these sins what they are. And they are sin. That's exactly what they are. They are not some sort of psychological problem. They are not some sort of a behavioral problem where you go to a counselor and you unwind your past. Listen, those emotional problems related from relationships, we're going to cover. And there may be something to them. But when it comes to sexual sins, what you're doing is not a behavioral problem. What you're doing is a sin. And you've got to acknowledge them as sins. And you say, but why? Because truth deals with sin. You see, Jesus Christ died for sins. Do you understand? And so if you don't call what you're involved in what it is, scripturally, with truth, then you can't deal with it properly. Somebody says, well, that's my persuasion, or that is my leaning, or this is how I was born. You know what you're doing? You're excusing the sin by associating it with a psychological definition or a behavioral problem. And so what you're doing is you're setting yourself up to live with this sin and cope with this sin, and that's not what the Bible is about. The Bible says, such were some of you. They were involved in it. That's what they were. But God changed them. And the first thing you need to do is you need to deal with the problem scripturally, and in order to do that, you have to call the sin what it is and recognize that what it is a sin. Okay? So you need scriptural truth. The second thing you need is you need scriptural wisdom. In James chapter 3, there are two kinds of wisdom. And we need to look at those, because I've noticed whenever people are struggling with sexual sins, they're messed up by the wrong kind of wisdom. In James chapter 3, the Bible says, beginning in verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Do you see how important it is to have scriptural truth and to deal honestly with that scriptural truth? Lie not against the truth. "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Now, with sexual sins, that's what you get into. You get into strife, confusion, and every evil work. You get into bitter envying, because let's say that the sexual sin you're dealing with is homosexuality. There's a bitter envying because you say in your heart, "I want to be, quote, normal. They are, and I'm not," and there's an envy. There's a bitterness in that. But there's also a lie against the truth. And you have to understand something. That kind of wisdom doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from above. It is earthly. It is man's wisdom. It is man's way of looking at things. Psychologists in this area have probably provided some help, but their help is very limited because they're not dealing with scriptural truth. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'll tell you something else about that wisdom. It is sensual. It feels right. When you go to a meeting where you're dealing with other people that have, you know, behavioral problems, and they're talking, they talk about their feelings. They talk about their feelings. That's sensual. It's how these things make you feel. "I don't feel like I can have a normal relationship. I feel like I am this whatever your sexual sin is," you see. Sensuality, and it's also devilish. In other words, the devil, and we're going to talk about him in this series of solutions to sexual sins. We're going to talk about him, but it's devilish. And what happens with the devil is he cloaks untruth as something profound, and then delivers it to you, saying, "Oh, that's really good. I need to get involved in that," and that's not the right thing to get involved in at all. It is going to blow up in your face. Because this wisdom is not from above. Now, the wisdom that is from above is found in verse 17, and it also has, there's something about it in verse 18. Now listen. The wisdom that is from above is first, look, very first thing, pure, P-U-R-E, pure. The trouble with sexual sins is they are not pure. You know that? Sexual sins are impure. And the wisdom from above is pure. So you know that when you're dealing with the right wisdom, with the wisdom from above, it is going to offer you something pure to deal with the impurities of your sins. But notice something else. It's also peaceable. In other words, this struggle that you're having with sexual sins, you're not at peace at all. When you get the right wisdom, purity comes into you, and so does peace. And I know you want peace in the worst way. It's also gentle. In other words, when you hear people preach, and I'm a Bible believer, and when we preach against sexual sins, we come down hard on those sins. And you're thinking, "Man, I can't talk to somebody that preaches that hard against these kinds of sexual sins." But yes, the Bible says when you get the wisdom that is from above, it's also gentle. In other words, yes, we expose those kinds of sins to the light, but also with scriptural truth, we can provide gentle wisdom that helps to get you turned away from the sin and into the righteousness of the Lord God. It's easy to be entreated. In other words, it's not hard to take. It's easy for you to receive. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It doesn't make any difference what kind of sin you got involved in. It's there for your help, and it's without hypocrisy. God doesn't cloak it in something that's very strange, and he deals with one group of people one way and another group of people another way. It's without hypocrisy. It's the same wisdom all the time. And the verse goes on to say in verse 18, "The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now that's scriptural wisdom. Scriptural wisdom. And that's what you need here. You need the right kind. You need God's view, God's wisdom on the sins that you're dealing with. And you can start to get then the scriptural remedies. All right, you deal with sexual sins scripturally, first of all, by scriptural truth, calling them what they are. They are sins. And then with getting scriptural wisdom, quit worrying about what men down here say about it. You know, they say you're made that way or whatever. Don't go there. Don't even worry with that. Get the pure, peaceable, gentle wisdom that comes from above. There's where the fruit of righteousness is. And then you need scriptural remedies. Scriptural remedies. These sins are sins, and they need to be purged. That is, they need to be cleaned out of your body, out of your spirit, out of your person. And there are scriptural remedies. For one, there is the Word of God. In John 15, verse 3, Jesus Christ said to his disciples, and listen, you got to believe this. You got to believe it. If you're going to get any help at all, you got to believe what the Bible says. He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." In other words, if there's a scriptural remedy and you are not willing to believe it, it's not going to do any good. But he says, here is a scriptural remedy. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And you say, you know what? I believe that. I believe when I read the Bible, it is having a cleansing effect on this sin in my life. You know what? It's going to begin to purge that sin out of your life. That's right. And you know what I've noticed about people that are stuck in scriptural sins? They are not in the Bible sufficiently for the Bible to have a purging effect. They're not believing what they're reading. They're reading very, very small amounts of scripture. They're not getting a healthy, thorough dose, digestible dose of the Word of God. And that's what you need. A scriptural remedy. Not only that, they need to be remedied by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now please understand something. You see, we're already a good way into this broadcast, and there's a lot that we need to say about sexual sins. You're getting a piece of it now. When you get the whole picture, you'll be able to look at the picture and see how this piece fits. Okay, this isn't the full solution, but it is a very, very major piece. So your sexual sins are purged by the Word of God. They're also purged by the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where we started looking at the sexual sins that afflict people, verse 11 says, "And such were some of you, but you are washed. Ye are sanctified." Sanctified means not only are you clean, but you're set apart for God. You can actually be used for something good in spite of what your past was. "You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus," watch it, "and by the Spirit of our God." So that means that you can get the Spirit of God inside of you to fill you, and in those capacities of your life that have been afflicted and affected by this sin or these sins, the Spirit of God begins to fill that capacity and change you and wash you and sanctify you. These sins also need another scriptural remedy, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9, and look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, and look at verse 14. All right. In Hebrews 9:14, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You know, I don't really understand how this works. I just know that it does. When you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the blood that was shed by the Lord Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago came in and cleansed you from all of your sin that you had committed against the Lord. And as it cleansed you in your soul, so that your soul is pure, it will also purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. By that I mean, today, if the thought of a sexual sin or the temptation of a sexual sin wells up in your heart, wells up in your mind, you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer and say, please purge my conscience from this dead work by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord applies that blood. Like I said, I know that it's right. I know that it's so. I believe it. I've seen it. But the Lord does. He just allows that supernatural shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to deal with the temptation that you're facing right there. I've told people when their imaginations have run rampant and they've got this thing going on in their mind that they can't break, some sexual perversion thought going on in their minds, I tell them what an old preacher told me. I said, you know what? Display it up there on a billboard right there in front of God, and you know, quit hiding it from him. Just put it up there on the billboard and say, okay, God, here's what's going on in my mind. Take a look at this, and if you don't like what you see, just wash it in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And boom, he does. He does. This is where confession of sin really matters. Look at 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 at verse 9. Watch what happens here. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins. See, you got to agree with the Lord that this is a sin, right? This is not just some thought or some persuasion or, you know, blah, blah. It's a sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Watch it. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, how does he do that? Verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, that's something, boy. That is something. What's going on there is the Lord just takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's already been shed, and he says, okay, and he applies it to that sin, and there is a cleansing, purging effect right then. Ooh, what a blessing. What a blessing. I'll tell you another scriptural remedy. It's not only being purged by the Word of God, a healthy dose of reading and digesting the Scripture, and by the Spirit of God who in you begins to fill you and consume the capacity of the areas where the sins were taking place, and the blood of Jesus Christ that purges out and cleanses that sin, but then also mercy and truth. Mercy and truth. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Mercy and truth. All right, in Proverbs chapter 16, this is such a beautiful passage of Scripture. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. All right, now here's what you're dealing with here is God is merciful. And he wants to forgive the sin. He wants to see the sin out of your life. But you have to deal with him truthfully. It wasn't a slip up. It was a commission of sin. It wasn't a mess up. It is wickedness. I mean, when preachers come down hard on these sins and really expose them to the light, that's when you want to run and go hide. But the truth of the matter is, expose them to the light. Tell the Lord, listen, I realize there are a lot of people today that are saying that homosexuality is okay, it's a normal lifestyle, but I'm going to stick it under the light of the Word of God that says it's an abomination, and I realize that what's going on in my life is an abomination, and I am going to deal with you truthfully, Lord. I'm going to agree with you, and I'm asking you for mercy. Listen, when you deal with the Lord honestly about your sin, God deals with you mercifully. You come in there and you're trying to mess around, beat around the bush, hide, pretend that it doesn't exist, pretend it's not that bad. The mercy's not there. Mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And then I'll tell you something else. Same verse, Proverbs 16:6, the fear of the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You have to understand, God does look at these sexual sins as an abomination. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, perverted thinking, that stuff, God is no, it is abominable to him. When pornography, he said when the Jews went into the land of Canaan and they saw the pictures, they were to destroy the pictures. And you know what really helps you get the right view there? The fear of God. You say, well, I don't have much fear of God. Then you know what you need to do? You need to pray and say, Lord, please help me develop the fear of the Lord. I know when you get into that Bible and read plenty of it and believe what you're reading and live by what you're reading, the Lord will develop and strengthen your fear of God. And then there's one more thing, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. Another scriptural remedy. Proverbs 28, 13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So here's what you've got. You've got a guy that, you know, sexual sins are secretive sins. You know, in the dark, behind the shutters, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk more about that. Here's the deal. He says, bring it out into the light, quit covering it, and forsake it. Forsake it. That is a scriptural remedy. In other words, you look at that sin and say, this is not right. I don't care how many people want to justify it. I don't care how many say that I was justified in pursuing it. The Bible says it is not right. I am going to not only confess to the Lord that I've committed this sin, I am going to forsake it. Now, there's a lot more yet that needs to be said about dealing with sexual sins. This is just the first thing and really the first point. And we say when you deal with sexual sins, you have to deal with them scripturally. You have to believe what the Bible says about the sins that you are committing. You can't ignore the truth. You can't twist the truth. You can't wrest the truth to make it say something it doesn't say. And you cannot reject the truth and have any help from the Lord on sexual sins. Because the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You got to get the scriptural truth in there. You've got to deal with scriptural wisdom, not man's wisdom. Get the pure, peaceable, gentle wisdom of God on these matters, and then seek His scriptural remedies. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, the fear of God, the mercy and truth of God, and then forsake these sins. Now, I look forward to being able to give you more information on this particular subject again in the next broadcast. And I pray what you've heard already is beginning to give you hope for victory. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.